What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast. And today we're going to lean into our spooky side in honor
of spooky.
And even though we're like halfway into October already, I am just getting into the whole spooky season thing.
Same. I feel like I just put out a couple of decorations like right before we left for Disney last week. And I was like, that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah.
I don't have.
We actually are planning to decorate today. And we like host a little like Halloween night where we pass out candy and have a bonfire, like have all our friends over. So I'm like, we have to at least do outdoor decorations because we host that and we still haven't done it, but we're gonna do it this weekend. I'm determined, as long as we don't end up back in the hospital for my baby's cold.
Yeah, poor guy.
Oh, it's been a week, you guys, but we are here with a kind of fun spooky season story. And I had a lot of fun researching this because I kind of went a little bit into the history. It is by no means a full history or like all of the details of the history of this place, but I went a little bit into that. So it was interesting.
We're not a history podcast, but it is cool and nice to learn like little details about cases like this, especially older.
Yeah. It's very fun. And then we'll talk about some ghosties and stuff. So today, we are going to be covering a haunted castle, and it is the most haunted place in Scotland, thanks to its long-standing turbulent history.
Love it.
So this is the story of the ghosts of Edinburgh Castle. And I know that Edinburgh is like the way that Americans say the place.
Yeah.
I listen to like Scottish pronunciation of it to try to see if I could like do the Scottish pronunciation. I cannot. So I'm not even gonna try.
That's a hard dialect to accomplish.
It is
the tongue and the mouth and the everything does different things in American.
I know. I love Scottish accents.
I love it too. I can just like listen to it all day long. Same. I'm really good.
Same. But when I listened to several Americans saying it, they said it Edinburgh. Some people say it Edinburgh. That's definitely not it.
Yeah.
Some people just say like Edinburgh. The most common I heard was Edinburgh. So that's how I'm going to be pronouncing it. But I apologize that I'm not pronouncing it exactly right. But this is the ghost of Edinburgh Castle. So the history of this castle starts with the geological history of Castle Rock, which is the giant rock mountain, whatever you want to call it, on top of which Edinburgh Castle sits. So Castle Rock is actually a volcanic plug in the middle of Edinburgh.
Wow.
So it's essentially the remains of a volcanic pipe that cut through the rock and then cooled to form this like really hard rock surface. And then glacial erosion over the years was resisted by half of the rock that created this rocky hill formation. And then the other side of the rock is kind of like a more subtle slope.
Okay.
The summit of Castle Rock sits about 430 feet or 130 meters above sea level and about 260 feet or 80 meters above the surrounding landscape.
That's so cool. I don't know a lot about Scotland per se.
Yeah.
but I definitely did not know that they had some volcanoes out there. Like that's.
Yeah. I know. I didn't
really
either.
Interesting.
Very cool. The rocky cliffs to the southwest and north of the hill are like jagged, very steep rocky cliffs. So really the only access to the castle is on the east, where the ridge has a gentler slope.
I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I just want to veg out on my phone and play a fun game. Recently, I discovered June's Journey, which is a hidden object mystery game, and I am obsessed. I am 3 chapters in, and I cannot put it down.
I've been loving it too, because not only does it bring out my inner detective, but eventually I'll be able to uncover the mystery behind the case. You play the game as June Parker, a young woman in the 1920s trying to solve her own sister's murder. And the clues that you start finding all point to June's family having some deep, dark secrets.
During the game, you get to create your own estate, which appeals to my inner interior designer. But before we ruin too much for you guys, you have to download June's Journey for yourself. It's free today on iOS and Android devices.
Check out the link to download June's Journey in the show notes of this episode. This geological landscape made it perfect to build a defensive base for the Scottish, but the geology also brought some difficulties to the castle. So, for example, it was difficult to provide water to the castle, so they built a 112-foot or 34-meter deep well to have a water supply, but that supply would often run out during times of drought or when there were sieges, so that became really problematic for those in the castle.
Right.
While it's not exactly clear the exact year that Edinburgh Castle was built, there was a royal castle sitting on Castle Rock since at least the reign of King David I in the 12th century. There is a documentary reference to a castle at Edinburgh in an account of the death of King Malcolm III in 1093. Wow. So it's believed that that's likely the first mention of the castle. In that, Scottish chronicler John of Fordon described that Saint Margaret, the king's widow, resided at the Castle of Maidens when she was told of his death. And that account goes on to say that Margaret died of grief within days of her husband's death.
That's so sad.
King Malcolm had actually built a tower at Edinburgh Castle for Margaret, and it still stands today. And it's known as St. Margaret's Chapel, and it is the oldest surviving building in Scotland today.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really old.
I know. So freaking cool. From the 11th century, like, that's insane.
Gosh.
I love Europe because of how, like, historic it is. I mean, in America, we get, what, back to, like, the 1700s? Like,
yeah, I mean, we have some cool things, but, yeah, it doesn't compare to, like, the European, like, historic, I was trying it's to think of a so nicer cool. word, a fancier word for buildings and statues.
Architecture.
Yeah, there you go. Architecture.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so cool. I freaking love Europe.
Yeah.
So Malcolm's youngest son, King David I, held many gatherings and assemblies at the castle between 1193 and 1150. And then David's successor, King Malcolm IV, reportedly stayed at Edinburgh Castle more than any other location during his reign. Then his successor, King William, was captured by the English and was forced to sign a treaty for his release. And part of that treaty was surrendering Edinburgh Castle to the English King, Henry II. So from 1174 to 1186, the castle was occupied by the British. And then finally, in 1186, it was returned to King William as the dowry of his English bride. In March 1296, King Edward I of England, who had been appointed to the Scottish crown, launched an invasion of Scotland that unleashed the First War of Scottish Independence. During this war, after a 3 days-long bombardment, Edinburgh Castle came under English control. And it remained that way until Edward's death in 1307, when England's control over Scotland was finally weakened. And then this is crazy. We know the exact day on the night of March 14th, 1314, a surprise attack recaptured the castle for the Scottish. They maintained control for little over 15 years until 1333, when the Second War of Scottish Independence began. In 1335, English forces reoccupied and refortified Edinburgh Castle, maintaining control until 1341, when the Scottish attacked once again and regained control.
Dang, they really wanted that castle.
Yeah, because it was such a good defensive like place.
The positioning,
like,
of it.
Yeah, you could really have a strong defense. Defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
In 1357, the Treaty of Berwick brought the Scottish Wars of Independence to a close, and King David II resumed his rule. One of his main goals was to rebuild Edinburgh Castle, and he began building David's Tower in 1367. When he died at the castle in 1371, it wasn't complete, but his successor, Robert II, completed David's Tower in the 1370s. So clearly up to this point, the castle has seen many different rulers, sieges, mm-hmm. controlling parties, attacks, all of this.
Lots of attacks.
Yeah. Beginning in 1437, Sir William Crishan was the keeper of Edinburgh Castle. And I haven't had enough coffee. In his attempt to gain the Regency of Scotland, he worked to break the power of the principal noble family of Scotland, the Douglases. Okay. And this is one of the first accounts of a pretty gruesome death at the castle. Of course, there had been several deaths because there were lots of battles and attacks and things like that. But this is one that was, you'll see.
Okay.
In November 1440, Sir William summoned 16-year-old William Douglas and his younger brother David to the castle. And he wanted to break the power of the Douglas family. So he created fake charges against the boys. And he had them executed at the castle.
What the hell?
16 years old was the older boy, and then the younger one was younger than that.
That is awful.
Yeah. And he did this in the presence of the 10-year-old King James II.
So he was making an example.
Exactly.
That's terrible.
This led to even more attacks at the castle by supporters of the Douglas family. In 1479, Alexander Stuart, Duke of Albany, was imprisoned in David's Tower for plotting against his brother, King James III. He escaped his imprisonment by getting his guards drunk and then scaling down the side of the castle from a window, like using a rope, which I think is just freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
So I had to include that. In the 15th century, the castle was used more and more as an arsenal factory. So members of the royal family still resided at the castle during the 1400s and the early 1500s, but they did start moving away as other places nearby were built for them to live. In 1565, Mary, Queen of Scots, married Henry Stuart. And the next year, she gave birth to their son James in a small room of the palace at Edinburgh Castle. And James would go on to be king of both Scotland and England. So that was kind of cool that he was born there.
Yeah.
Also, I freaking loved doing this part of the research because I love the show Reign, which is all about Mary, Queen of Scots. And obviously, oh my gosh, it's so good. I love it. It's such a good show. And obviously, it's not like a perfect history and dramatized and stuff, but it is like relatively accurate and they cover a lot of it. So it was fun to like do research about like the actual Mary, Queen of Scots after watching that show. By 1633, though, the castle was no longer used as a royal residence and instead turned into military barracks.
Interesting.
The night before his coronation, King Charles I visited Edinburgh Castle for the first and only time, staying there for just one night. And this was the last occasion that a reigning monarch resided in the castle. Throughout the 1600s, the castle was captured by other forces, went back to being under Scotland's control several times, you know, continuing to kind of go back and forth. In 1660, King Charles II made the decision to maintain a full-time standing army base at the castle, and this was continuously maintained until 1923.
Damn.
So for almost 300 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah. In 1715, the castle was almost taken in the first Jacobite rising in support of James Stuart. So during this, 100 Jacobite Highlanders attempted to scale the walls of the castle with the help of members of the guard stationed there. but the rope ladder lowered by the guards inside the castle was too short. So they couldn't quite make it up. And then there was a change of watch. So new guards came on, and that's when an alarm was raised. So the Jacobites fled. And then the deserters within the castle that had attempted to help them were hanged.
Of course.
So more deaths inside the castle.
It's a lot of potential spirits.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which is why I wanted to like kind of dive into this history, because you kind of get an idea of like where all these spirits are coming from.
Yeah, it like paints the origin the story picture, of the spookiness.
Yeah, and we'll talk about a couple specific ghosts, but then there's also, as I'll talk about, there's kind of just like ghostly spirits, and this is where a lot of them come from.
Yeah.
In the 1720s and 1730s, Army Officer General Wade noted that the castle's defenses were decaying and inadequate, so they carried out a strengthening of the defenses. And during this period, most of the artillery defenses on the north and west sides that we see today at the castle were built.
Okay.
So again, so freaking cool. Like 300 years ago, this stuff was built and it's still there today.
Yeah.
The last time the castle saw military action was during the second Jacobite Rising of 1745. So the Jacobite army captured the castle during an uprising in September of that year, but by November, they left for England, abandoning Edinburgh. Throughout the remainder of the 1700s and 1800s, the castle vaults were used to hold prisoners of war, and this included during the Seven Years' War, the American Revolutionary War, and the Napoleonic War. Several new buildings were also built during this time, including powder magazines, stores, the governor's house, and the new barracks.
Okay.
In 1811, 49 prisoners of war escaped during a mass prison break.
Wow.
So there was a hole in the south wall that was not protected constantly, and they used that to escape. And so this led authorities to realize, hey, the castle's probably not suitable to be used as a prison because there's lots of like holes and cracks and, you know, ways they can escape.
How did they miss that?
I know, right? It probably, honestly, probably somebody was supposed to be watching it and they didn't.
Like, yeah.
You know.
Just like, yeah, they're not going anywhere.
They're not good. Yeah. But because of this, by 1814, all of the prisoners of wars that were being held at the castle were moved. In 1818, Sir Walter Scott, why can I not talk today? I'm going to take a sip of coffee. Hold on.
I say Scotland. That's my terrible Scottish accent.
So in 1818, Sir Walter Scott was given permission to search the castle for the Crown of Scotland. So the crown had been lost, and it was believed to have been lost during the Union of Scotland and England in 1707, so over 100 years earlier. And Edinburgh Castle was one of the places they thought it might be.
Yeah, makes sense.
During the search of the castle, Scott broke into a sealed room, and in there he found a locked chest. And inside the chest was the Scottish crown jewels, including the Scottish crown.
Wow.
So he ended up putting the Scottish crown jewels on public display in that room with an entry charge of 1 shilling. And this room is now known today as the Crown Room, and it's still where the Scottish crown jewels are displayed, and you can see them if you visit the castle.
That's so cool.
I know. I got to see crown jewels in England at the Tower of London, and so it's like similar to that, and now I really want to go see that.
Yeah.
In 1822, King George IV visited Edinburgh Castle, making him the first reigning monarch to visit since Charles II in 1651. Throughout the 1800s, several rooms of the castle were restored, and then in 1888, a new gatehouse was built. At this time, it was also being considered to rebuild the entire castle as the new Scottish baronial-style chateau. They began work, but it was soon abandoned. They did still remodel the hospital building into that style, though. During both World War I and World War II, the castle was once again used as a prison for prisoners of war. In 1935, the position of governor of Edinburgh Castle was revived for the first time since 1876. And this position was given as an honorary title for whoever the general officer commanding in Scotland was at the time. In 1991, Historic Scotland was founded and was, quote, responsible for safeguarding Scotland's built heritage and promoting its understanding and enjoyment. So Edinburgh Castle was passed into the organization's care in 91, and the buildings and structures of the castle were protected under several listings, including 13 Category A listings, which is the highest level of protection for a historic building in Scotland.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, they were like, this shit needs to be protected. Like, this is important. It has a lot of history.
Oh, yeah, that thing is old. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, was built very well because it's, you know, mostly intact, and, you know, they don't make stuff like that anymore. But yeah, definitely protect it because.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because, like, as much as we have improvements in technology and building materials and all of that, it's like the buildings today do not stand like they did back then.
Because we want instant gratification now. So
true.
It's like the saying, you get what you pay for. And, you know, they put it up in three, 4 months as opposed to like a decade that it probably took them to build the castle.
Yeah, very true. Today, Edinburgh Castle is under the ownership of the Scottish Ministries and is run by Historic Environment Scotland, which was formed in 2015 when Historic Scotland and another organization for historical monuments in Scotland merged. The Scottish Army remains responsible for some areas of the castle, including the new barracks block and the military museums. Today, the castle is a tourist attraction and is the most popular paid visitor attraction of Scotland.
Wow.
In 2019, over 2.2 million people visited the castle.
Wow.
So there are cafes, restaurants, and then historical displays. You can do tours. We'll talk about the ghost tour in a little bit. But it's a very popular tourist attraction. And every single thing that I read about this said, if you're in Scotland, visit Edinburgh Castle.
Yeah. I think my in-laws, I want to say that they went there.
Oh, that's
they
so
did
cool.
They went to, like, gosh, London, Ireland, and Scotland, I'm pretty sure. And I think
Edinburgh Castle,
I feel like they did.
Oh, I want to visit so bad.
Yeah, I do too. That's one of my bucket list places, like Ireland, Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they're not, like, super close, but.
Well, like it's like UK.
Yeah, I feel like you could do that in, like, one trip.
Oh, yeah, easily.
For sure.
So, as you can tell, the castle had a very tumultuous history, seeing many battles, deaths, attacks, and there were also many royal families who resided in the castle and other historic events that took place. So now that we went through the history, let's dive into the hauntings. So a few hundred years ago, a network of tunnels was discovered under Edinburgh Castle that ran along the Royal Mile toward Holyrood Palace. So the Royal Mile runs from Holyrood Palace, which was used as a residence for years, to Edinburgh Castle. And Holyrood Palace was one of the buildings that was built that people, the royal family, started like moving into when they stopped residing at Edinburgh Castle.
Right.
So the Royal Mile is the basically street now between those two. And there are tunnels underneath this. When the tunnels were first discovered, they weren't sure where they led, how long they were. So they sent a piper into the tunnels to explore the length of them. So he walked through the tunnel playing the bagpipe while others listened from the surface as he went so that they could figure out like where it ran.
That's in my mind, that is like the cutest thing. Just like this guy playing the bagpipes. Cause I think
walking through,
I love a bagpiper. Sorry.
I know I love bagpipes, but whenever I think of bagpipes, I can only think of the Friends episode, which is so pathetic of me that like, that's what I think of. And I need to be more cultured and I recognize that, but
that's funny.
That's also like my favorite blooper of that show ever. So anyway, he was walking through the tunnels playing the bagpipes, and about halfway from Edinburgh Castle to the palace at Tron Kirk on Royal Mile, the bagpipes just stopped. So more guards and people went into the tunnels to look for the piper, they found that he had just disappeared. Vanished into thin air.
Why'd they stand down there
alone? Yeah, I don't know.
What the hell?
But he was never seen again.
It's like the buddy system. Like you're going into the unknown. Yeah. Literally, there could be booby traps. There could be water, like wells, anything. Like, what? Why are you sending him alone? Poor guy.
I know. And after this, the tunnels were sealed and no one has gone in or out for years. But today, when traffic is minimal along the Royal Mile, the faint sound of bagpipes is heard coming from below the surface.
Shut up. I just got like goosebumps all over my entire body.
Yep. It's said that the ghost of the piper is still wandering through the tunnels.
No, that is so sad.
Just playing his little bagpipes, trying to
get out.
Get out. Yeah. Isn't that sad?
Like, what happened to him?
I know. That's also creepy. Like, not only is his ghost still there, but like, where did he go? Like, he just disappeared. I mean, and they didn't find his body either. It's not like he like dropped dead of a heart attack and they found him. He just was gone.
Yeah. I wonder if there was a lot of like rubble and things like that.
Well,
like, maybe he got buried under something. But even still, I feel like there would be some evidence of something happening.
Yeah. But this was also like the 1700s.
Yeah,
so,
that's true. You know.
Another haunting in the castle is a drummer said to be the ghost of a man who would alert those in the castle to an impending attack. Hmm. So one sighting reported by castle guards was the ghost drummer playing his drum each night along the battlements, which are the part at the top of like the castle wall that has the little square openings to shoot through. That's battlements.
Mm-hmm.
So the drummer would walk along the battlements, and this drummer didn't have a head.
Oh, my goodness. I just got a vision of, like, the Headless Horseman riding.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. And this headless ghost was spotted playing an old Scottish war tune. It turned out that the first time this ghost was spotted was right before Oliver Cromwell's men were attempting to take over the castle.
Oh, interesting. So he was alerting them?
Mm-hmm. So after this report by the soldiers, the castle governor decided to investigate what was going on. So he was like, all right, there's these reports of a ghost. Let's see what's actually happening. He never saw a ghost, but he heard a drum playing that same old Scottish war tune and heard feet marching to the beat. Mm. He reported the sound of this procession coming toward him and then passing him. So he was like, okay, yep, right there are definitely drummers here.
Wow. Anytime music is just like faintly playing, there's no like logical explanation for it. That's really creepy. Yeah.
So the ghost of the drummer has not been actually seen in centuries, but today visitors still hear that faint sound of drums playing while wandering around the castle. And it is believed that the ghost of the drummer boy appears when the castle is under attack. So that's why it hasn't been actually seen, because the castle hasn't been under attack for a really long time.
Interesting.
But you can still hear them faintly marching through.
Hmm.
Now, being sent to the dungeon of Edinburgh Castle was essentially a death sentence, because most prisoners ended up dying either from torture or neglect. And it's said that their souls still haunt the dungeon where they took their last breaths.
Mm-hmm.
There are reports of the ghost of one prisoner in particular. So this prisoner reportedly attempted to escape the dungeon by crawling into a wheelbarrow full of muck, because his intention was being taken out of the castle with the muck and emptied onto the soft heap of manure.
Okay.
But instead, the wheelbarrow was dumped over the battlements. So the man fell from the tower and broke his neck on the jagged sides of Castle Rock.
Oh my
God. And his ghost still haunts the battlements that he was thrown off of. And visitors reportedly interact with him and say that they feel him trying to push them over the battlements. and then also reports distinctly smelling manure, which is what he would have smelled like because he crawled into that wheelbarrow. In 2003, a construction crew restoring part of the castle reported seeing ghosts of prisoners from the Napoleonic War and said that these spirits were harassing them. There are photos, and I tried to find these photos. I'm going to still try to find them, and if I find them, I will post them, but I couldn't. But there are reportedly photos of these men working in the Queen Anne building, and in the photos, there are hazy blue orbs floating above their heads.
No.
Yeah. So because of these sightings, many of the crew actually refused to work alone. And then there is the Gray Lady. And I feel like every haunted place has like a ghost of a woman like this.
The Gray Lady, the White Lady. Yeah.
There's always something. So the Gray Lady at Edinburgh Castle is dressed in 16th century noble wear. And it's believed that she is one of two people. And she is seen wandering, sometimes weeping. So it's believed that she is either Marie de Guy, the Catholic mother of Mary, Queen of Scots, or Janet Douglas. And it's believed she is Janet Douglas more so. So I'll talk about Marie de Guy first and then Janet Douglas. So Marie de Guy was the mom of Mary, Queen of Scots, and she was also the regent for Mary. So she basically ruled in place of Mary until Mary was the age to rule.
Okay.
When she died in June 1560 at Edinburgh Castle, her body was kept there for months, just wrapped in a cloth in a lead coffin to keep the smell at bay. And that was because Protestant nobles were holding her body hostage until they finally allowed her remains to be shipped home to France.
Wow.
So some say the Gray Lady is her wandering the halls of the home she was trapped in.
That's so sad.
More legends, though, say that the Gray Lady is Janet Douglas. Janet Douglas was a woman accused of witchcraft by King James V. Now, Janet was the brother of Archibald Douglas, the king's stepfather. Douglas imprisoned King James as a young boy, and when he became king, he took his anger at Douglas out on Janet. He accused her of witchcraft and of trying to poison him. But everyone knew his accusations were baseless. So to get, quote unquote, evidence, he tortured Janet's friends and servants until they gave him the proof that he needed.
Which, of course, they're going to say that because they don't want to be tortured and killed.
Exactly. I know. And so because of this, on July 17th, 1537, Janet Douglas was burned at the stake outside the castle. In front of her son.
That's horrifying.
I know. So some say that the Gray Lady is Janet wandering the castle, mourning the life she should have had.
Yeah.
Edinburgh Castle also has a pet cemetery where dogs that belong to royal family members or distinguished soldiers are buried.
No.
This is actually pretty cute because visitors apparently report seeing the ghost of a fluffy black dog wandering around the grounds and sometimes hearing his bark. And it's believed that this dog might be Bobby, a Skye Terrier that spent 14 years guarding his master's grave until he passed away in 1872.
Aww, that is sweet.
And visitors report hearing his bark by that grave today.
That's sweet.
Visitors and staff members at the castle report being touched and pulled while walking the grounds, report hearing the faint sound of drums or a lady weeping, seeing lights, shadow figures, and mist, and feeling sudden temperature drops.
Mm-hmm.
Some visitors even report suddenly feeling very emotional, as if a spirit was influencing them.
Yeah, that happens.
Today, visitors can book ghost tours of Edinburgh Castle. And these tours take place at night, and you'll get to hear about the legends of the ghosts that haunt the castle. And you also, during these ghost tours, get to access areas that are not open to the general public.
Ooh.
So that's something you can do if you visit Edinburgh Castle, but you can also just visit the castle during the daytime, which is what I will be doing whenever I visit Scotland. I will not be doing the nighttime ghost tour. I think there's enough chance that you hear something just as like a normal visitor, but you know, you never know.
Yeah,
but I definitely want to go visit Scotland and see Edinburgh Castle. I think the history is so cool, and I'd love to see like the ghost dog. I'd be cool with that, you know? Yeah. But there's some really crazy hauntings, and a lot of visitors report
having
feeling, seeing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just here and there, you know, people.
Well, how could you not? I mean, it's, think about how old it is.
Yeah. And I mean, there are even reports of like the drummer going back to like people seeing the ghost in the 1650s. Wow. So it's like, if that's if that was happening then, it's certainly happening now. Yeah. And there's just like more and more. But it seems like for the most part, most of the ghosts are pretty harmless. They're just kind of stuck there. There's a lot of like souls of the prisoners that were stuck there and things like that.
Like disembodied.
Yeah. Yeah, but that is the ghosts of Edinburgh Castle. I know this was a little bit different and a little more of like history and stuff, but I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and it got you in a spooky little mood. But that's all we have for you guys today. We'll have a brand new episode soon. And until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.